Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 34, Translation and Commentary by Servants of His Kindness, Shri Isi Bhaktivedanta Srimad Bhagavacharya Goswami. Shri Raja Vacha, Narayana Bhidhanasya, Brahmana Paramatmana, Nishtham Ahata Novaktam, Yuryam Hi Brahma Vittama, Raja Uvacha. The king said, Narayana Abhidhanasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, named Narayana, Brahmanaha, of the Absolute Truth, Karma Atmanaha, of the Super Soul, Nishtham, the transcendental situation. Arhata, you may kindly Naha to us Vaktam speak Yuryam, all of you, he indeed Brahma Vittamaha. The most expert knowers of the Supreme. King Nimi inquired, please explain to me the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who is himself the Absolute Truth and the Super Soul of everyone. You can explain this to me because you are all most expert in transcendental knowledge. Purport, according to Sridhar Swami, in the previous verse, the sages informed the king, Narayana Paramayam Anjas Tarati Tustaram. Simply by unlike devotion to Lord Narayana, one can very easily cross over the ocean of material illusion. Therefore, in this verse, the king is requesting specific information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. It is significant that in this verse, the king refers to the Supreme Lord as Narayana, Brahman and Paramatman. Although King Nimi is already understood to be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his questions he wants to clarify that the Personality of Godhead is the highest transcendental truth. In the Bhagavatam, Vedanti Tattva Vilasta Punyant Vyan Vandriyam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavani Pashavati. Learned transcendentalists who know the Absolute Truth call this non-dual substance Brahman Paramatma or Bhagavan, in their quote. Therefore, it is to be understood that the word Narayana in this verse refers to the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. Generally, the speculative philosophers become attracted to the impersonal Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, whereas the mystic yogis meditate upon the Paramatma, the Super Soul within everyone's heart. On the other hand, those who have achieved mature transcendental knowledge surrender directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who is eternally situated in his own abode called Vaikuntha Dham. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly says, Brahmano hi Yudhishthira, I am the source of the impersonal Brahman. Similarly, it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Super Soul, Kshira Daksha Vishnu, is the second plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. King Nimi wants the sages to make clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original feature of the Absolute Truth, and therefore he places his question before the next of the nine Yogendras. Pipalaya, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the word Nishtha can also be translated as firm faith. In this sense, Nimi Maharaj is inquiring about the process of developing perfect faith in the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Krishna. Prabhupada had a book published called Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. He very much appreciated the questions of the erstwhile Bob Cohen, who is now initiated, or was many years ago, initiated by Srila Prabhupada, as permitted, thus permitted. So, as the title of the book suggests, it is a series of very good questions which give the opportunity or make the situation in which the person who is capable of giving perfect answers, he is able to do so. It is possible to speak transcendental knowledge at any time or any place. Prabhupada told that his own Guru Maharaj had told that you just preach, and even if no one comes to a program, you just preach to the four walls. In other words, at least you yourself will hear, and the transcendental sound vibration will be auspicious. But there won't be as much benefit in preaching to the four walls as there is in preaching to people who want to hear. There's also the matter of speaking to persons who are not very submissive, not very eager to hear, not very intelligent. These are other kinds of persons who, even if one delivers the topmost transcendental knowledge to, they generally won't have any impression, not any immediate impression. So that's also recommended in Bhagavad Gita and other shastras, not to. What is that? Bhakti Savatamam Pratyatam. This knowledge should not be given. Natapaska. Not to. This knowledge should not be given to persons who are envious, who are not austere, who are not engaged in devotional service. Therefore, we find in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, because this specific instruction of Krishna, Savadhamam Paritata, which Krishna says is my topmost confidential instruction, this is my topmost instruction, do not speak this here and there. So in Ramanuja Sampradaya, they don't speak this openly or publicly. They don't preach the surrender to Krishna. But only the Guru will say to the disciple at the time of initiation, that now I'm giving you the topmost instruction. So it's kept as a diksha. Of course we have a different number. But the general idea is there, that one shouldn't speak that which is not understandable to, or maybe not, even if it's very good instruction, it may not be very worthwhile to speak it to someone who's not ready to hear that or not prepared to hear that. We find in the case of Dhruva Maharaj that when Narad gave him very good instruction, he said, look, I recognize that your instruction is very good, but I can't follow it. I've got some material desires here. I want to fulfill them. So your instruction just to give up all material desires is not very relevant to me. So the general injunction is to speak to people who are eager to hear, as in this case, Nimi Maharaj is eager to hear, and to speak at people's level of realization, or a little bit above it. If one only speaks at the level that someone can understand, then we won't be able to take him any further. You have to speak, you have to go a little bit up. Just like I remembered studying mathematics in school, that teacher would teach us something, and we'd learn that. And then he'd bring out something new. And when it was first presented, we couldn't understand it. But it was just incrementally a little more advanced than what we'd already learned. And he would teach that, and we'd learn that, and understand that, and we go on to the next stage. Mathematics is like that to a large extent, that its study of mathematics develops. They step by step, there's certain algebra and geometry and trigonometry and calculus. One thing depends on the next, and once one has mastered one or become familiar with a certain level, then you can go on to the next, not otherwise. You can study calculus first and algebra later. It doesn't work that way. Bhaktisthan Sanskrit Thakur used to say, Rati Age Shraddha Pache Upanuga Molena. If you think that there's a gradual development of bhakti, then specific form of development, which is given by Rupa Goswami, Ado Shraddha Tatar Sadhu Sangha Tabhajana Kriya. Tatona Atana Vritti Syat Tataruj Tatana Tataruj is what's going on? Anyway, Sadha Kamayamayana Pradur Bhavi Bhavet Krama. There is a specific order of development in devotional service up to prema. So if one thinks that we will have rati or the feelings for Krishna, which is similar to ruchi or taste for Krishna, and then afterwards our faith will develop. No, but this is the answer to the objective. This is incorrect. This is not according to the directions given by Rupa Goswami. There is a particular order that we have to hear in. So one should teach according to the level of realization of the hearer. And the hearer should also be intelligent enough to ask questions according to his level of realization. Or lower, generally. Just like we see Parikshit Maharaj, he asks so many questions about the universal form and the creation, although he's already a perfect devotee from his very childhood. But he asks, similarly Uddhava, when Krishna is instructing him, Uddhava asks very basic questions, which are actually below his level of realization. It's very interesting. No, not exactly, we can't say below his level of realization, we can say that his realization already includes knowledge, just like Krishna speaks to Uddhava, Jnana Yoga. It teaches Uddhava how you have to discriminate between various things within the universe, understand what is material, what is spiritual. Uddhava is already the most intimate associate of God, Krishna, and Radha. But he's being instructed like this. Why is that? One thing is for the benefit of others, who may be present or who may hear of these conversations being said later. And they're also for the benefit of the person whose realization is already includes such topics. Just like we'll find even someone who's very expert or very much familiar with any branch of knowledge, sometimes we'll see they're studying the very basic thing. Because it's always good to keep the foundation strong. Vasu Goswami told me once he entered the room of an elderly Madhva Sampradaya sannyasi, and he was just there reading by himself Nyaya Sutta, which is from our level it's a very advanced text, but that is taught in youth to those who are trained to be sannyasis or serious pundits in the Madhva Sampradaya. That is the main means. Nyaya means logic and Sutta means nectar. So this is the main book that's written by Jayatirtha, the main, we could say, dialectic acharya in the Madhva Sampradaya. He gave the, he explained Madhva's teachings. So this book is the main weapon with which, or rather the teachings of this book are the main weapon by which the Madhvas smash the Shankaras. So Vasubhosha, you know, we saw this elderly sannyasi studying this Nyaya Sutta by himself. He already mastered it in his youth. He taught it for decades to others. He was studying it himself, keeping the foundation strong. So, teaching at a certain level in and asking at a certain level, Nimi Maharaj, studying at a certain level, Nimi Maharaj is asking about the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord, very important question. Now it may be considered, well, maybe Nimi Maharaj is already an advanced devotee. But actually this question, anyone at any level of devotional service can ask this question. What is the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord? It's always, this question can be answered at various levels. What is the position of the Supreme Lord? That is understood by various persons at various levels of God realization. Some people say God is light. Some people say God is love. It's true, it's not incorrect. But if we have no more conception of God than that, that means that our God realization is at a very basic level. And not only is it ever at a very basic level, but it's quite possibly mixed up with some envy of the Supreme Lord. Even though one has some God realization or inclination towards godly life, at the same time one's understanding of God is still mixed up with envy of his personality. So we find that persons are on the path of God realization, but at the same time envious of God, very strange. They want to confine understanding of him to human beings and ineffable, indescribable, ultimately impotent entity. They say God is all power, but then they want to describe him as being formless, nameless, featureless, and ultimately less than me. Just everything less. So, Nimi Maharaj wanted this to be specifically described, and this question is very relevant because it's exactly what the sages did. They described to him the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord, his different incarnations, how he's beyond the modes of nature. It's especially important, and this among the answers are the descriptions of the yoga avatars, especially important for us because as part of the reply to Nimi Maharaj, the incarnation, this word incarnation is actually not a very good word. It's an English word which corresponds to avatar, but in its etymological derivation embodies a misconception that avyaktam vyaktima pandam manyante imama bhuteha. The word incarnation embodies the misconception that an avatar is one who takes a body, who is ultimately formless but who takes a body. But actually the word avatar means one who descends. That means Ajopi Sanaviya Mahutana Mishkaropi Sampraptim Swamadishtaya Sambhavani Amanaya. He manifests himself within this material world by coming from the spiritual world down to this material world. Not that he is produced within this material world like any other ordinary body. Anyway, the Yoga Vitaka Kali Yoga is described Krishtavan, Tushar, Krishnam, Sangopam, Vastavrachavan, Dajai, Sankhutanapam, Yajanti, Masuni, and Visaha, which very clearly, without specifically defining, very clearly indicates Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because if Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the one who is always chanting the names of Krishna, who is Krishna in the Navakala, who is the propounder of the Sankirtan movement, if he's not this Yoga Avatar, then who is he? Who fits this description? It must be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else fits it. We can practically see the effect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. As Mahaprabhu predicted, my name will be preached in every town and village of the world, and that's actually going on. The preaching movement is going on. He has the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, so those of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, that even down to the lowest classes of people who don't normally partake in dharma, it's a very wide term. It generally, in practical uses, is synonymous with that. Dharma is the concept that gives shape to the social institution called Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma is the practical manifestation within which the elusive but very basic concept of dharma is practiced. So, lecha, chandal, yavan, antyaja, pancham, there are so many different names. For those who are outside the Varnashram dharma system, they're not expected to practice any dharma. Their very existence is adharma. But the yuga dharma has been, or in this Kali Yuga, chanting the names of Krishna, has been preached by the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, who is giving not only dharma, but param dharma, jaiva dharma, or the actual dharma, jivesu rupoi Krishna das. He gives that even to persons who are not practicing, or practicing, not even capable of practicing ordinary dharma. Sarvadharman Paritya, Krishna says, give up these dharmas. That is a stepping stone. Now you're situated in dharma, now you are capable of coming to paramdharma. That is one way of understanding this. Sarvadharman Paritya, it's just like Atato Brahma Jignasa. This our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they understand this to mean that now one should inquire into the absolute truth. So now, having attained a human birth, one should inquire into the absolute truth. Again, that can be considered. What is a human birth? Is simply having two hands, two legs, and a face that the body one has can be classified under the biological definition, Homo sapiens. Does that mean that one is a human being? Not according to Vedic culture. Dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. One is simply an animal if he doesn't practice dharma. So, now one should inquire into the absolute truth, means now having actually, if one is has the opportunity to practice Varnashrama, if one is dharmic. If one is, there's no opportunity to inquire into the absolute truth if one is not, practically if one is not born in the Vedic culture, that's the general prerequisite. It's sometimes said, or used to be said that much, that one has to be a born Hindu, a and come and be a converted human world. So that might have been generally the case, because if one is not brought up in the culture of Varnashram, it's very difficult to take it up later. So, having attained the human form of life, one can or should inquire into the Absolute Truth. The broader definition of that is that yes, anyone that's human being or very specifically defined means one who follows Varnashram Dharma, that is the beginning of human life. But then the broader definition is one who has two hands, two legs, and what is called Homo sapiens. Prabhupada brought that definition. Who is capable of inquiring into the Absolute Truth? Well, the Western people who are certainly beyond the pale of Vedic culture, they were not inquiring into the Absolute Truth. They didn't have the cultural background even to do so. We see that there are philosophers in the Western world, but none of them, they don't even begin. The best philosophers in the Western world don't even begin where the Vedic philosophers begin. Mostly they don't even understand that we're not the body, that we go from body to body to body. They used to understand. Some of them, Socrates, he has some insight into that. But he was poisoned and wiped out, and such teachings were also wiped out. The early Christian church, the Origen, was one of the great philosophers of the early Christian church, so he clearly accepted that we are passing from body to body to body, but then his teachings were not accepted by the church, and even though this understanding that we pass from body to body to body remained, at least some people in Western culture accepted, but it was actually considered heretical by that church. So if you accepted it, you risked taking a new body very quickly. Grace of the church. In other words, being executed for believing in rebirth after continuous rebirth. So dharma, those who are dharmic, they can actually inquire into the Absolute Truth. And again, coming to Madhvacharya, then atato, this means that Vedanta Sutra, which is this atato from Jinyasa, this is the first sutra, or the first statement, the first sutra. What's the word for that in English?
Aphorism.
First aphorism of the Brahma Sutra. So Madhvacharya says that this Vedanta Sutra, this is called Uttaramimamsa. And it's also Purvamimamsa. Mimamsa means analysis of scripture. It means scriptural analysis. In this context, Mimamsa means scriptural analysis. So the Brahma Sutra is scriptural analysis on the platform of jnana. And before that, there is scriptural analysis on the Karmakanda platform. Purvamimamsa, what is generally known as Karmamimamsa. Do your duty as prescribed in the Vedic scriptures and you will get a good result, you will enjoy in this life and in the next life. But then when one has realized that there is no happiness in this material world, everything is simply miserable. What is the use of this? Tetam bhutva swarga lokam vishalam shine punye marcha lokam vishanti evam trai dharmam prapadakatam kam karmanabhante. What is the use of this? Simply performing pious activities, going to the heavenly planets, burning up your punya by enjoying, coming back again, and then again doing some sacrifices and whatever, and going up to the heavenly planets, and maybe sometime there might be a mistake in between, just like rigmarole, and you go to hell. What is the use of all this? Kim sukam martin harmana. What is the happiness in this material life? Where is the happiness? The rhetorical question. Where is the happiness? There's no one. The answer is there is no happiness. So when one realizes this, then he is a fit candidate for inquiring into the absolute truth. So Madhvacharya, he stated on it in his Samhita. Now one should inquire into the absolute truth. That means after having gone through not only being situated in Varnashram, but having gone through the whole karma kanda system and being fed up with it and being ready for it. Now I'm ready to hear what is the knowledge of it. Now I'm ready to hear the knowledge of the absolute truth. So we find also in Gita that Lord Krishna states that one shouldn't disturb the minds of those who are ignorant, but just to encourage them. We find that there are different Vedic rishis and they've given various directions, just like we talked about Karma Mimamsa, so Jaimini. They've given certain directions how one should follow the Vedic injunctions and become a big karmi or become a yogi. Patanjali is recommending. These paths are actually not very auspicious for the human being. They're more auspicious than not following anything. They give a general sense of dharma, which is in itself auspicious. And they claim to be auspicious. Just like you see outside everyone's office, shubh, lava. The desires of shubh, auspiciousness, and lava, getting some money. What do they consider shubh? Good health, no major problems, no harassment from the government, favorable climate for performing business, all these different things. But what is the actual shubha? To be free from all these things. So, devotee's vision is different from that of non-devotees. Non-devotee, he sees only under certain conditions that the material world is auspicious. That if I have money and good health, for instance. But a devotee, an advanced devotee, sees every situation as an opportunity to serve Krishna. So anyway, we're talking about the general adhika or eligibility for understanding spiritual knowledge. And it is superfluous to ask to hear about topics that are beyond one's level of understanding. We find when Prabhupada was once in Madras that one very respectable couple, some of the most prominent people in Madras, his husband and wife, they asked Prabhupada to describe to them the Rasa Lila. And Prabhupada said, no. You're not qualified to hear this. And they said, yes, actually we are. We're worshipping Krishna in our home for many years. We're qualified to hear. And Prabhupada said, No, you're not qualified here. But they insisted, yes, we are qualified to hear. Prabhupada said, okay, you're qualified to hear, I accept, but I'm not qualified to speak it. Not qualified to speak it, certainly Prabhupada is qualified to speak. But in one sense, he was unqualified to speak because no one is qualified to speak to those who are unqualified to hear. One shouldn't speak to those who are not qualified to hear, especially these very intimate topics. This point should be understood very clearly. Otherwise it will cause disturbance in our spiritual life. We should know what our aim is. What is our aim? Our aim is to enter into the Rasa-lila. Maybe it could be said like that. Could be said like that. But if we state it like that, then we never shall know. If we emphasize it, I want to enter the Rasa-lila, I want to join with Krishna, kissing Krishna, so many things. Krishna will kiss me. But if we think like that, then we'll never, never attain that. Because if we're thinking, I want, then immediately we're disqualified. Rather, we should think that how we shall, simply how we shall serve Krishna. And then as our surrender and our attitude of serving, how it develops, and as we become more and more freed from sense gratificatory thoughts, even within devotional service. And we think, well, I'll do this service, because I like it. So that's also true, one may perform devotional service for one's propensity, but one should be prepared to do anything for Krishna. One should be prepared to accept any discomfort. One should be free from all thoughts of sense gratification. So as one develops, as one's desires to serve Krishna developed, and that develops proportionally, what's the word? There's another word. With one's decreasing of desire to enjoy sense gratification. Bhakti Prashanta Baba Viraktir Anyatra. One's desire to serve Krishna, as it increases, then one's desires for anything else decreases. So as one's actual desire to serve Krishna increases, then automatically will be revealed to him the Naam, Roop, Leela, Vaishishtya, what are the special characteristics.
Actually, in the middle of class, it's just a disturbance.
If it's given at the beginning, it's better. So one's realization is bestowed upon one who is eager to serve. Atavshu Krishna Nama Adinama Vedrahi Vindhudai Simon Bhukhe Hiti Bhava Swami Vispurthi. Krishna himself bestows upon one who is eager to serve realization of his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so on. So rather we should approach from the bottom. Let me try to serve Krishna. And go up in Krishna consciousness by going down. Going down means not down into sense gratification, but thinking. A neophyte devotee will think, well, I'm in the Rasa-lila and kiss Krishna. So he said, sometime in Krishna consciousness, but very neophyte. One who thinks like that hasn't heard from Bhagavan Acharya very much. They haven't got the point. Whereas one who is more advanced, genuinely wants to situate himself in the position of being servant of the 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 servant of Krishna. Vibharthu Pāgya. So, as much as one tries to make oneself a servant, then he will be pulled up by those who are the servants of the Lord. But if one tries to force his way, yes, I'm qualified. No, you're not. Stay down. You have to stay down, because by your consciousness you're down. If one thinks, I'm doing very good service, and by one's own consciousness, even it may be apparently very good service, but it will not be very pleasing to Krishna. So, it may be that yes, our aim is to join Krishna in his eternal pleasure dance. But rather, one should think, one should approach this topic very cautiously, not try to enjoy Krishna or intrude upon Krishna. Krishna is enjoying with Srimati Radharani. It is not our business to intrude upon that. Just like people watch a movie, a love movie, and they enjoy watching. That is not the attitude. That we shall see Radha and Krishna, and we shall enjoy how they are kissing. But rather we shall think how we can facilitate their enjoyment. Not that we shall enjoy that. So this point is to be, unless this is completely understood, it becomes very dangerous to try to artificially jump into wrestling. Then it will be, by one's misunderstanding, one will cause a disturbance to the Lord. Therefore he won't be allowed in. You may think, yes, I'm enjoying with Krishna, but it will all be imagination. So the teachers, they teach, they make sure one is very well situated on a particular platform. Then little bit, gradually bring up, try to understand this point. But practically, if we can simply understand one point, that we are servants to be enjoyed by Krishna, that in itself is perfect. All perfection will come from that. Simply this one point. If we fully accept this within our hearts, then that is perfect Krishna consciousness, and everything else will be revealed from there on. So, this is a genuine way to instruct. That instead of discussing so many intricacies of gopi leaders to persons who are situated in bhoga buddhi, I am the enjoyer, everything is for my enjoyment, then they will take that as this object of some enjoyment also. So that will not be as effective for their advancement as speaking what seems to be the very basic point, and is the very basic point, that we are not the enjoyer, we are to be enjoyed. That hearing how we are not the enjoyer, we are to be enjoyed, that will be more effective by helping us to enter into Rasa Lila than even discussing Rasa Lila at a premature stage. That will give us the qualification, that is the qualification, to understand this, to serve the Lord at any level, not Rasa Lila is the topmost manifestation of Krishna's variegated pastimes, but to serve the Lord at any level, we're chanting Hare Krishna, or we're attempting to chant Hare Krishna, we can actually chant Hare Krishna when we understand, I am not the enjoyer of the Holy Name, I am the servant of the Holy Name, the servant of the servants of the Holy Name. If we try to enjoy the Holy Name by the nice sound, or the nice dancing, or the nice rhythm, or the adulation I get for being the semi-spiritual equivalent of a rock star by leading raucous kirtans, that we may enjoy also, but that the Holy Name will never manifest. The Holy Name will never manifest to a person who wants to enjoy the Holy Name. Rather, the Holy Name will remain never hidden from such a person, even though they may think, I am chanting. The Holy Name will not manifest to such a person. The Holy Name manifests Himself to those who are Sivan Mukha. So, Nini Maharaj is asking questions in an appropriate manner for a devotee, because he has the intention to serve the Lord. Therefore, his questions are very suitable, and the answers that are going to be given to him are also very valuable for developing in Krishna consciousness. So we can also learn how to ask questions by seeing the version of the Bhagavatam, how questions are being asked. As Prabhupada once explained, there are two kinds of questions. One is for understanding Krishna and one is for avoiding Krishna. And even maybe the same question, it may just be a difference of attitude. Someone may submissively ask, why should Krishna be accepted as the Supreme Personal Godhead? If it's asked in a submissive mood, it's a very good question. If someone asks in a challenging mood, why should Krishna be accepted as the Supreme Personal Godhead? The same question means he doesn't want to hear an answer, but he wants to reject the proposition that Krishna should be accepted as the Supreme Personal Godhead. So we should learn to ask questions in a manner that is conducive for our development and emotional service. By having the right attitude when questioning, then we can understand the answer. The same answer may be given to the question, who is the Supreme Person? Why is your exception the Supreme Person? One who is submissive will understand it. One who is not submissive will never understand it because he doesn't want to understand it. He's already put up a block. Whereas submissive means he's open to hearing what is about to be told. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Are there any questions?
Guru Maharaj, apart from that, not directly pertinent to this reference, but.
Well, are there any questions relevant to the class as before we go off on various tangents?
Yeah.
Surrender to Krishna is a gradual process. It's generally, it can be an immediate process, as in the case of Khatranga Maharaj, but generally it is a gradual process. Krama means gradual, step by, literally, step by step. So gradual, that means we surrender somewhat, but still we may be holding on to different material desires, but our basic intention is to surrender. And then gradually we get trained in surrender, we accept that principle more and more. In the beginning, the desire should be able to surrender. Dikka kale bhakta kare bhakta samarpan. At the time of initiation, the devotee surrenders himself. They may say that what is the need of being instructed anymore by the guru? And diksha means it should be all finished. Because he already surrendered himself. Then what more is there to do? That means that he took up the general intention is there to surrender, but still he needs training in how to surrender. More and more. That is the general thing. Generally, one should instruct in those who are actually ready to hear about bhakti. We may also instruct others, but in a more general way. We can ask anyone to chant Hare Krishna, take a look about Krishna, but we won't go into the details of the science of Krishna consciousness unless someone's genuinely desirous to hear. Very general, when you're preaching in colleges, first of all, that there is God, the existence of God. Ask people to come to the programs, give them their sign. It's very, in a very general way. It's said that one should not preach to the faithless, but that specifically means, specifically stated, that the glories of the holy name should not be preached to faithless persons. But faithless persons, they may be preached to also, but then the glories of the holy name, not. That means that's on a level too high for them. First of all, you have to preach them that there is God. Amen. that they instill some faith in them. Yeah, the example is given that, so it's a contradiction.
When we encourage people to surrender and even receive, then they can maybe in the future, they will not fall.
Should we encourage people to surrender even if we know that in the future they may fall from our platform? Definitely. Otherwise all preaching will stop and there's no preacher. It's stated that Bharat Maharaj's fall down was considered, he became degraded. From another point of view, it said that if anyone does any devotional service for any, even for a moment, that's glorious. So he said both things are true, it's just from a different perspective. And so it's
Don't reveal
this most intimate knowledge. So that's to, yes, but the question's already been answered, that one may or should preach, but the level that one will preach on one has to see according to the level of the person. One doesn't describe the glories of Krishna to one who has no faith in God. First of all, they have to accept that there is God, Supreme Person. Then they could be told about Krishna. What's your question?
I'll just answer it quickly. It's the last one.
About
what? Alright, it's already finished. So we'll finish that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.